Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you a story that is both true and exciting, and a star who is both talented and lovely, Geraldine Fitzgerald. For more than a third of a century, quality has been a habit with the makers of Hallmark cards. They are the kind of cards you can be proud to send, proud to receive. That's why, through the years, Hallmark cards have been America's favorite greeting cards. So if you want to send the very finest, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. These three words are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Now to preside over the Hallmark program this evening, here's a young man well known to Broadway, both as actor and producer, Richard Kalmer.
Thank you, Tom Shirley, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Ever since Geraldine Fitzgerald first graced American shores and American movie screens, she's been one of my favorite performers. And ever since I came to work on the Hallmark program, I've been hoping to find a vehicle for her splendid talent. Strangely enough, as the search for material in the Reader's Digest went on, I became convinced that Miss Fitzgerald should portray an American role. For few actresses who visit us from foreign countries have ever caught the American manner, the American idiom, and most important, the American spirit so readily as Miss Fitzgerald. When Robert Sloan brought in his adaptation of Which Was the Rescuer, I knew the search was over. I read the script with the agreeable vision of Miss Fitzgerald in my mind's eye. This was the drama I'd been looking for. And so tonight, the Hallmark program proudly presents Which Was the Rescuer, starring Geraldine Fitzgerald. In the early days of the war, when people all over the world were hurrying home from foreign lands, passage aboard any steamship bound for the Western Hemisphere was a rare and cherished privilege, especially for an American. Yet, for Mrs. Ann Martin, a young widow whose husband had only recently passed on, the hot, painfully slow voyage from Bombay to Rio de Janeiro had none of the excitement it held for the other passengers. To them, each day at sea was a day nearer home. To her, it was just another day of mourning for the man she loved, the man she left behind.
Mrs. Martin! Mrs. Martin?
Yes? Who is it?
Dr. Pryor.
Oh, come in, Dr. Pryor.
Thank you. Feeling any better this afternoon?
I'm all right, Doctor.
Well, if you don't mind my saying so, Mrs. Martin, I don't see how you can be. Staying inside your cabin all the time, reading old letters, missing meals. You've got to get hold of yourself, girl, if you want to get well.
Can I get well, Doctor? Is there any cure for loneliness?
Not if you lock yourself up in a room and think about it all day.
But it's so much worse when I go out. When I'm alone out there on deck, I just keep staring at the ocean, wondering, waiting, almost hoping for it to swallow me up.
And it will if you're not careful, young lady. Don't you realize there are people aboard this ship? People you should know and take an interest in?
I wish I could, but it's so hard for me to talk to anybody these days. They all try to be so kind and cheerful. And everything they say reminds me of something about him.
Only because you haven't tried to forget about
it. That's not so, Doctor. I have tried desperately. But how can I forget when there's so much to remember? His smile, hands, the way he shaved in the morning. Even the silliest little things take me back to him.
My dear girl, you can't go on mourning your husband forever.
Even though he was my whole life?
No matter what he was. That part of your life is all over now.
Can't be, Doctor. Don't you understand? Without him, there isn't any me.
Then what are you going to do with yourself? Lie down and die?
I don't know. It almost seems as if I've died already.
Here. I won't have you talking like that. Young lady, I'm going to take charge of you for the rest of this voyage. The first thing I want you to do is to meet everybody aboard ship.
Oh, no.
Now, come with me.
No, please.
Well, you're not going to bury yourself in this cabin, I tell you.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Doctor, will you leave me alone? I don't want to go out.
Well, I'm afraid you'll have to, Mrs. Martin. We all have to when that bell starts ringing. Come along, young lady. This is a lifeboat drill.
Straight line along here, if you will. No crash in the back. Just keep the deck clean.
Tommy, where are you, Tommy?
Right here, Mrs. Shelby.
He's with me, dear.
Where you belong, please? You belong on the other side of the ship.
Here, keep an hand on that boy, will you, Gavin?
Well, I'm in the wrong place.
Then let's find the right one. We haven't got all day.
Excuse me, I was looking for my...
Now, what are you doing, ma'am? Is this your boat station?
I believe so. My cabin's just a few steps from here. Dr. Pryor said I was on boat number 3.
Well, this is it, Mum. Just take a place in this here line and see if we can't keep the blooming deck clear. That's it, Mum. Right next to the lady with the small foot.
Here, we can make room for you.
Oh, thank you.
Well, quite a bit of excitement, isn't there?
Yes.
There always is a good deal, but it's nothing compared to an actual hit. With a torpedo, I mean. I've been down twice now, and I'm just praying this won't be the third time. Listen now, Tommy.
I'm going to America.
Yes, of course you are, dear. We've got all these children to look after, you know, Mr. Gilby and I. We came aboard at Cape Town. We've been on the go ever since. You're Mrs. Martin, aren't you?
Yes.
I thought you were. You poor dear. I've heard about what you've been through, and my heart goes right out to you. Now, if there's anything Mr. Gilby or I can do...
No, I'm quite all right, thank you.
Is she the lady who hasn't got a husband, Mrs. Gilby?
The little devil. She hears everything.
Is she?
Don't say she, dear. It's not nice. This is Mrs. Martin.
Paul. How do you do?
Really, Mrs. Martin, you should be out on deck more. It's so bad for you to stay cooped up in your cabin all day. Of course, I know exactly how you feel. If I ever lost Mr. Gilby, I just won't get over it.
Please, please.
That's because we mean so much to each other. Now, you're just a young woman.
Perhaps you go on.
Yeah. Where are you going, Mum? The drill isn't over
yet. I'm sorry, Stuart. I have to be excused.
Well, what did you say, Tommy? Whatever did we say to her?
Sure you won't have another walk around the deck with me, Mrs. Martin?
No, thanks, Doctor. I'm so tired, I think I'll go in now.
Very well. I'll look in on you again this evening. In the meantime, have a good rest.
Thank you, Doctor. Hello.
Well, hello. What are you doing here, son? Did you get into my cabin by mistake?
No, ma'am. I came to see you on purpose. Don't you remember me?
Oh, yes, I believe I do. You're the boy I saw at the lifeboat drill this afternoon with Mrs. Gilby.
That's right, ma'am. My name's Tommy, and I know something I'll bet you don't know.
I'm sure you do, Tommy.
We're the only two Americans on this ship, Mrs. Martin. Did you know that?
No.
Well, we are. We ought to stick together, don't you think?
Yes, I suppose we should.
That's what I thought. It gets kind of lonely on a ship like this with a lot of people that don't know anything about America or anything. Well, that's why I came to see you. I thought you might want to talk to an American.
Well, I do, but don't you think you should be getting back to Mrs.
Gilby? I've got a flag and everything, Mrs. Martin. You want to see it?
Oh, no. No, not just now. Thank you. I'm sort of tired, Tommy.
What's the matter? Don't you like me?
Well, of course I like you.
Then why are you trying to get rid of me?
I'm not really, Tommy. I just thought Mrs. Gilby might be worried about you.
No, she knows I'm here. I can stay as long as I want.
Oh.
You know any good games?
Well, no, not any boys' games.
Well, why not? Didn't you play any games with your husband?
Tommy, I'd rather you wouldn't talk about my husband. I know you don't mean to hurt me just now, but somehow it does hurt when anybody talks about him.
Gee, I didn't know that.
You're not really old enough to understand, Tommy, but when you're in love with someone, it's just as if that someone were your mother or your daddy. And you'd be hurt if anything happened to either of them, wouldn't you?
Something has happened to them.
What do you mean?
Did Mrs. Gilby tell you? They were both killed in an air raid on Rangoon. That's why I'm coming home alone. I'm an orphan.
Oh. Oh, Tommy, I'm so terribly sorry.
That's all right. I'm used to being an orphan.
Oh, poor kid. I wish there was something I could do. I mean, come here, Tommy. Sit on the bunk next to me.
Yes, ma'am.
You're proud of being an American, aren't you, Tommy?
I'll say. My father was an American, and so is the whole family.
Well, how would you like it if I were to tell you some stories about America?
Now?
Now or whenever you'd like me to.
Well, if it's all right with you, Mrs. Martin, could you come down to our cabin and tell me some stories just before Mrs. Gilby puts me to bed? The only stories she knows are about Australia.
Very well, Tommy. I'll come down tonight.
But what do you know when it's 7 o'clock? I mean, how will you remember to come down and see me?
Oh, I'll remember all right. I'll set my alarm clock right now. When the bell starts ringing, I'll know it's time to come down and tell you a story.
Gee, is that a promise?
You bet it is, Tommy. Don't forget, we're both Americans, and we're both in the same boat.
And they brought the whole island of Manhattan for $24?
That's right, Tommy.
Gosh, what are you going to tell me tomorrow night?
And Washington left the fires burning in his camp, so the Hessians would think his men weren't going to attack. But he fooled them. That night, an entire regiment was killed.
Good heavens, Mrs. Martin, what's that?
Just my alarm clock, Doctor. I'm sorry, but I'll have to interrupt our little visit. Tommy's waiting for a story.
There, Mrs. Martin. Isn't that a gorgeous sunset? The prettiest one I've seen on the entire voyage.
The first one I've seen, Doctor. From the deck, I mean. The others had to filter through my cabin window.
Well, they won't anymore, young lady. You're looking much better now. I want you to stay that way.
Thank you, Doctor. You've been so kind. You know, I'm beginning to take an interest in people again. Some people. And for the first time since I boarded the ship, I've begun to look forward instead of after.
Good girl.
Do you think I'm a fool to look forward?
Don't be absurd. When the Lord gave us eyes, he took care to put them in the front of our heads. And then he gave us necks that wouldn't turn completely around. Don't go against nature, girl. Look forward and keep looking forward. The whole world is before you.
Look, what happened?
Quick, Miss Marty, get your light belt. Go to your boat station. We've been torpedoed. We've been hit amidships.
Geraldine Fitzgerald will be back in just a moment with the second act of tonight's Hallmark drama from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. And now, here's Dick Calmer.
Right now, I have a special announcement for men. This year, you can send Christmas cards that speak your language. Cards as masculine as a briar pipe, friendly as a log fire, as colorful as all outdoors. For the makers of Hallmark cards created 12 exclusive new Christmas cards featuring beautiful reproductions of Lynn Bogue Hunt's famous paintings, Game Birds of America. Paintings highly praised by leading sportsmen, and you should see those Hallmark cards. In fact, if you have the December issue of Esquire, you can see a colorful illustration of these cards tonight. You'll see beautiful shallow water ducks in all their natural setting and full rich color, and the other cards portray ringneck, pheasant, quail, and many other favorite game birds. They're cards to set you dreaming. Designed to send to any man, and for every man to send. Tomorrow, go to your friendly Hallmark dealer and ask to see the Hallmark Game Bird cards, the new Christmas cards for men.
I'd like to make a suggestion to the ladies listening, Dick. Why not surprise your husband when he comes home tomorrow night with a set of Hallmark Game Bird cards for him to send his special buddies? Go to your friendly Hallmark dealer tomorrow and pick up a set. And while you're there, you can select all your Christmas cards from his complete selection. You'll find Hallmark cards that suit your taste, your personality. And you can be sure when you send Hallmark cards that you are sending the finest. Because for more than a third of a century, quality has been a habit with the makers of Hallmark cards. So at Christmas, as always, look on the back of the cards you send for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Those words tell your friends you cared enough to choose the very best.
Somewhere in the warm waters of the South Atlantic, the crushing impact of an exploding torpedo has blown a hole through the hull of a vessel bound for Rio. With water pouring into the engine room and the entire ship threatening to break in two, passengers and crew alike swarm over the boat deck in answer to the command to abandon ship. Among them is Mrs. Martin.
Up here, Mum. Don't stand around in the way. Get into the boat.
I'm sorry. I'm doing the best I can.
Well, don't talk about it. Hurry along. We'll be loading away in half a mile. Here, Mum. Take my hand.
Oh, thank you.
Here.
I never would have made it without you.
Here. Sit right here. Hold on to your bag now. There'll be more coming in on that side. Hey, Al, how much room we got?
Place for about three more.
Four if you need them. Don't stock us up too full or we'll never get in the water.
I know.
Here, young lady. I thought I'd tell you to sit down.
I just wanted to see.
Never mind what you wanted. Get your place in the boat.
Yes.
All right, Al. I guess we can start loading away now. Hang on to the line.
Wait. Just a moment. Me.
What's wrong now?
That bell. Can't you hear it? Yes. It's the alarm clock in my cabin.
What if it is? Blimey, Mum. This ain't no ruddy time to be thinking about clocks. Load away, Al.
No, don't. He isn't here yet. Don't you understand? This is the boat he belongs on and he isn't here.
Oh.
The little boy, Tommy. Oh, something must have happened to him. Mrs. Gilby isn't here either.
Well, it's too late to worry about that.
Oh, no, please. They're still inside the ship. I've got to find them.
Stay where you are.
No, let me go. I've got to go back there. I've got to find them.
She'll be killed, you little fool. This ship won't be afloat another 10 minutes. She's breaking up in the middle.
I don't care. Take your hands off.
All right, Alf. Let her go if she wants to. But I'm warning you, Mum. I can't risk 20 lives on account of yours. If you go now, we won't be here when you get back.
Good luck to you, wherever you are. I'm going back just the same. Tommy, if you're in there, tell me. Answer me, Tommy. Why have you locked the door?
Is that you, Mrs. Martin?
Oh, yes, Tommy, yes. Can you come to the door and open it for me? I can't get inside if you don't.
Just a minute, Mrs. Martin.
Oh, hurry, son, hurry. Every second counts. Oh, Tommy, thank God you're still alive. Where's Mrs. Gilby?
Over there on the floor. She's so still, Mrs. Martin. That's why I locked the door. I was afraid.
Oh. Don't look, Tommy. Bless her soul. There's no way to help her anymore. There may not even be time to help ourselves. Come along, Tommy, and don't look back. Not even once.
Yes, ma'am. Where are we going?
Out on deck, if we can make it. The ship's lifting more and more every second.
Is that why it's so hard to walk?
Yes, Tommy. But I think we'll manage. Here, let me have your hand. There. That's the way.
Gee, there's nobody on deck. Where's everybody gone?
Well, I guess they're all down at the other end. I mean, quick, Tommy. Maybe the number four boat. Maybe it's still there. No. It's no use.
What's the matter?
Number four is gone, too.
What are we going to do? Who's going to take us off the ship?
I don't know, Tommy. This time, I just don't know. What's that?
Sounds like there's somebody out there on the water.
Tommy, quick, get over to the rail. Maybe we can see what it is.
Gee, I can't see a thing, Mrs. Martin. Can you?
No, but I... There, Tommy, down there. It's a boat, a lifeboat.
Ahoy! Ahoy on deck! Anybody up there?
Yes. Two of us. We're stranded up here. Can't you see us?
Not yet. Wave your hands over the rail.
Wave, Tommy. Wave.
I am, Mrs. Martin. I'm waving my hands off.
All right, that's good enough. Hey, right where you are, we're coming alongside to pick you up.
Isn't it time? Isn't it time yet?
Keep those offshore men. We don't stop till the sun's overhead.
It's overhead now.
Keep it going, Harold. I'll tell you when you quit.
Gee, Mrs. Martin, you think we'll ever get to America in a boat like this? We're in the same place we were yesterday and the day before.
No, Tommy. It just seems that way. The ocean looks the same no matter where you are.
Where does the ocean end?
Now. Don't you think about things like that. We just keep on telling stories and playing our world games and... Before you know it, we'll be there.
Sure. We'll be there, all right. All we've got to do is go 400 miles, that's all. We'll be there in 20 minutes.
Leave him alone, Harold.
What's the matter with that man, Mrs. Martin?
Nothing, Tommy. We just won't listen to him, that's all.
But looks like he's scared or something.
He's afraid we won't get there?
Oh, don't be silly. Only very little boys are afraid. Come on, huh? We play that furniture game you like so much. Remember how it goes? We build a house in our mind. And then we fill up every one of the rooms with the right pieces of furniture.
I'm thirsty, Mrs. Martin.
Yes, dear. We'll have a drink as soon as they pass the cup around. Now, what kind of a house do you see, Tommy?
Green one.
The green one? That's fine.
Big green one with a fountain in the front.
Sure. Fountain in the front. Cold water running in all the rooms. And the ice box is full of food.
Shut up.
Well, make them stop it, will you?
Leave them alone. They're not hurting you. Come on, get that all moving.
He is afraid, Mrs. Martin.
No, Tommy. I told you. Only little boys are afraid. He's just tired and hot from the sun. Come on now. We'd better furnish our house. We won't have a place to sleep tonight. Let's do your room first, Tommy. Now, what sort of a desk would you like?
All right, man. Paws up.
Tell me about the desk, Tommy.
All right, go on, tell her. What are you waiting for?
Leave us alone.
Not bothering you. Go on. Go on, play your game. Only don't sing any more of those hymns or we'll never get sure.
What do you mean? The desk, Tommy, the desk. Is it green? Or is it maple?
Make it gray. That's the color of these shops out here.
Get away from house.
We'll all be gray. Gray and green and every color of the rainbow. That's how we'll all look when we're dead.
That's not it, Harold. I warn you not to...
Oh, no, please. Just fight. No.
Now you'll be quiet for a while.
Stop it. I can't stand anymore.
Mrs. Martin, please. Don't cry, please.
I can't help it, Tommy. I'm not made of iron. I can't hold it back anymore.
The game, Mrs. Martin. We haven't finished the game. What kind of a chair should I have? A wooden one or a leather one?
A wooden one, Tom. A leather one wouldn't be right for you.
Sure. A wooden one like this boat that's going to take us to America.
Yes, Tom.
Don't be afraid, Mrs. Martin. Only little boys are afraid.
That's it, Mrs. Martin. Straight ahead. That thin little line on the horizon.
Land?
Yeah, Trinidad. We'll be on the beach before sundown.
Gee, that's land. Why isn't everybody yelling and shouting? Doesn't that mean we're going to be saved?
Sure it does, Tommy. Only I guess we're all too tired and too happy to make much fuss about it.
Gee, land. All we've seen is water for almost a month. How many times did we furnish that house of ours, Mrs. Martin?
I don't know, Tommy. But this time we're going to get a chance to really furnish it.
You mean Trinidad is America, Mrs. Martin?
It's home? Well, it's almost home, Tommy. Home is just beyond the horizon. But it's so close. I can see it.
You can see it?
Now I can. I couldn't back there in Bombay. Now, it's just as clear as a frosty morning. We've got a great future, Tommy. And it's waiting for us right there, straight ahead.
What's it like, Mrs. Martin?
Oh, it's like all the wonderful things we've always dreamed about. Home, and friends, school, and growing up in America. It's life, and something to live for.
You see all that?
Gee, it's not so hard, Tommy, when you look ahead.
That's the way I'm looking. Don't you know something, Mrs. Martin?
What, Tommy? You know something, Mrs. Martin?
I never thanked you for all this.
All what?
Oh, gee, you saved my life.
Did I, Tommy? I was just about to thank you for saving mine.
Today, back in America, taking up the duties of life again, Ann Martin is vibrant and alive once more, and happy. Perhaps because she rescued a little boy, or perhaps because a little boy rescued her. Thank you, Geraldine Fitzgerald, for a most sympathetic portrayal of Ann Martin.
I was delighted to play the part, Dick, because, well, there's something quite wonderful about the way a child can fill a void in your life if you give it just half a chance.
And by that half a chance, you mean a little love and understanding?
That's right, Dick. Every child should have those things.
Every child should have a few other things, too, as Edna Caspler-Jarl pointed out in her poem in the Reader's Digest. Will you read it for us, Geraldine?
I'd love to, Dick. Every child should know a hill and the clean joy of running down its long slope with the wind in his hair. He should know a tree, the comfort of its cool lap of shade, and the supple strength of its arms balancing him between earth and sky. So he is the creature of both. He should know bits of singing water, the strange mysteries of its depth, and the long sweet grasses that border it. Every child should know some scrap of uninterrupted sky to shout against, and have one star, dependable and bright, for wishing on.
Thank you again, Geraldine Fitzgerald.
Thanksgiving is only 1 week from today, and I suppose you've already made your plans. I'd like to offer this idea to make your plans for Thanksgiving really complete. Tomorrow, go to your friendly Hallmark dealer and choose some Hallmark Thanksgiving cards to send your special friends and loved ones who won't be with you on Thanksgiving Day. There's no more thoughtful way to let them know that, though far away, they are close to your heart.
And now is the time to select your Christmas card, too. You'll find at your Hallmark dealers a complete selection of Hallmark cards, the most beautiful ever. Cards that capture all the wonder and joy at Christmas.
Remember, at Thanksgiving, at Christmas, and on every occasion, those three identifying words, a Hallmark card, tell your friends you've cared enough to choose the very best.
You're cordially invited to be with us again next week at the same time for another fine dramatic program brought to you by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards, America's favorite greeting cards. At that time, you will hear the true and inspiring story of a lonely little man who had the courage to follow the impulse of a kind and unselfish heart. Our star will be one of the finest character actors of the American stage and screen, Otto Kruger.
Geraldine Fitzgerald can currently be seen starring in the Warner Brothers picture, Nobody Lives Forever. Which Was the Rescuer was dramatized by Robert Sloan from the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Loeb, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.